remain standing. I want you to open the Bible. And we're going to read the book of Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24. Again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write this, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day. The king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. And after the parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh, the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them see the bones of it therein. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of her rock, she poured it not upon the ground, to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come out, to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock that it should not be covered. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, I would even make the power for the great fire. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh and spice it well, and let the bone be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may not be hot, and may burn, and that the bitterness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and the great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness anymore, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken, and it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Also the word of the Lord came upon me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thy eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tie of thy head upon thee, and put on the shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the flesh, the bread of man. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and even at my wife that died, and that even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people say unto me, Would thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus said the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pity, and your sons and your daughter whom you have left shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips nor eat the bread of man, and your tires shall be upon your head and your shoe upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that we have done shall you do. And when this cometh, you shall know that I am the Lord God. Also, son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escaped in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thy ears. In that day shall the mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb. And thou shalt be a sign unto them, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your dealing with us, Lord. The Holy Scriptures is filled with much joy, goodness, peace, and many, many things. And with it, Father, there's so much pain even to read it. The sorrow, the destruction, the harshness, the way you deal with your people. We look in many places, O Lord, it seems to be that we will always ask questions. As it was in days of old, so it is even today. How, Lord, could you do such a thing? Why do you let such a thing happen? O Lord, may today's lesson be upon us, O Lord, that we need to understand one thing. When anything ever happened, that we should always run to the cross. Father, that you would speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message today is Run to the Cross. Now, I believe that there are times in your life, in my life, that you might doubt about, have a certain doubt about the God that we worship. Because something happens in our life, it goes to our mind and we doubt about, what the characters of God, why are you like that? Does he care? It seems that when suddenly happens, it seems that God is so cruel, that he is uncaring. A certain thing, he allows it to happen. And when we are in such a state, we are frustrated. And we just cry and just wonder whether God really loves us. You have that in your life experience. And perhaps you might be experiencing it today, I don't. You know, I have grown to become more sensitive to the disaster of the world, to the pain that comes upon people in certain countries. Just as the recent case we read in paper regarding the young children in India. I don't know, 25 died. It's poor state out there in India. They hardly have any food. The poor people have hardly any food to eat. I don't know whether they have a meal a day or just about it. And what do they have out? The meal is just a plate of rice, perhaps with some, I don't know, coconut shredding or some vegetables. That's all that they get. In the hygienic condition, that is not, it's not what we expect. At least here, even in Singapore, sometimes we see the way the hawker handle the food. We get a bit kind of taken aback. Sometimes the hands are, touching the dollars and they don't put the glove on. I'm talking about the cockroach and the fly that comes around. I mean, this thing happened in India just about everywhere. When I read about that, the death, in that morning, I feel the pain because these are children, these are people out there, who live in such a condition. And just the people in the world, I have been a witness for the gospel for so many years. And my colleague, when I was in the hospital working there, he asked me, "You believe in God, why did you let this thing happen? That thing happen? If God is love," and you always say, "God is love, why did he let this thing happen?" There always be this question. Why did you let it happen? How could you let it happen, Lord? Isn't it so? But it would not be so much of a pain when you see it happen to somebody else. But when it happened directly to you, your question of that you ask becomes louder. Why? How could it be? Isn't it so? When you affect others, your question is not that loud. But when it happened to you, it's loud. But here we see this case that we just read of Ezekiel 24. Here was a disaster. You know, it seems the whole thing that God just spread it out. Dealing with Israel, but not just Israel. I mean, here we have this guy, this chap, this man, this priest, Ezekiel. Now he was a priest. But God called him up to be a prophet. And he had been one who served God well, and it is the custom to bad news. Already he saw this, if you remember that we have studied, Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon to conquer, to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And you know there were three stages when Nebuchadnezzar came down. He came down in the first stage, he came down in the year 650 BC. Came and took King Jehoiakim and carried away Daniel and Daniel's friend to Babylon. That was the first siege. And about 9 years later or so, in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came down again. And that's when Ezekiel was taken. And together with Ezekiel was King Jehoiakim. There's another. The other first one was Jehoiakim. This one was Jehoiakim. And also with him, 10,000 hostages. And only 11 years later, in 586 BC, the Nebuchadnezzar came down to destroy the whole city of Jerusalem completely. Wiping out the temple. Everything. It just ready. God said, I will destroy sanctuary. Wow. When you read things like that, you must think, why? What causes God to get so upset, so angry, that even he will destroy that sanctuary of his? That's why some people and some people don't understand about the wrath of God. No, I'm talking about God is love. Yes, God is love. But the opposite of love is God's wrath. When people rebel against God so often, God has to deal with it. Because we already said this, God does not have bastard children. Either you are in or you are out. Remember the song that the children sing, one boy and only one, and yet it sets up two. Inside and outside, and which side are you? Is that right? In the second verse says, the one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? Yeah, we're on the inside of the door with Christ. But yet, on the other side, today, you can sing the song the other way. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the outside, and which side are you? I'm come out of Babylon. I'm no longer on the inside of church. Israel, God's people, which side are they standing? If they are standing with the side of God, why are they so rebellious? And now, in chapter 24 here, we see that Ezekiel is experiencing something as you're going to test his faith. Now, we are here, we read the Bible, we see what's happening in the Old Testament, we read history about the church, and here we are today. We want to be blessed by God. Every one of us wants to be blessed by God. Who does not want to be blessed by God? Brother Henry got blessed yesterday. Paul also got blessed, and Sister Nancy got blessed for this in the vacation they enjoyed. And I was blessed yesterday too with the birds. We all want to be blessed. Nobody wants to be cursed or any sense of that or fall into some, you know, a situation that we don't want to have. But here it is that we see and in the book of Ezekiel 24, 15 to 18, we read it in the contemporary English version. Okay? Ezekiel 24, 15 to 18, so that you can have a better look at it. Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 15 to 18. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, I will suddenly take the life of the person you love, Moses. I don't want you to complain or cry. Mourn in silence. And don't show that you are grieving. Don't remove your turban. The word turban, don't think that is a Bengali turban, huh? Because we are in Asia, we only say turban. Is a Bengali turban or the Taliban turban. The word turban is, I don't know why it's translated that way, it's just a head covering. So it could be a cap, it could be a hat, it could be whatever they are wearing. Okay? Of course, being that he was also a priest, he had this bonnet on. Okay? Don't remove your turban or take off your sandals. Don't cover your face to show your sorrow. Or eat the food that mourners eat. And one morning I was talking with the people, let me just leave that. It was 18. Yeah. One morning as I was talking with the people as usual. And by sunset, my wife was dead. The next day I did what the Lord told me. Ah. Alright. So, here the whole chapter we read was about how God was going to deal with, how God was going to deal with Jerusalem, with Israel. And now in this verse, in the middle of the whole chapter, God told Ezekiel, I'm going to take your wife, somebody that you love the most. When I take her, he said this, you cannot mourn. You cannot weep. Don't show your grief. Okay? Make no mourning for the dead. Buy the tile of thy head and put on your shoe upon your feet and cover not thy limbs and eat not the bread of men. Oh my. So you think for a moment here that God came to this priest who was his servant, faithful, was now chosen to be a prophet to those who are taken up there in Babylon with him. I'm taking somebody that you love the most. How do you think Ezekiel feel? Think about it, huh? If the Lord come and tell you that I'm going to take your wife, the one you love the most, or your husband, the one you love the most, or your baby you love the most. Someone or something in your life that you love the most, God said, I'm going to take it away, and I will come up, especially the living person, I will not allow you to weep and moan. Think about it. If somebody you love the most is taken away, automatically you must cry. Isn't that so? Obviously, you don't rejoice, do you? You can't even hold a face to say as if nothing happened. You can't. Now, when we read this chapter, did you see how the prophet Ezekiel now, what he did what God told him to do, just the way God told him. Now, if it were you, how would you go about dealing with this? If you were, you in a dream that God, in the night you're sleeping, God told you, when in the evening, the following day, I'm going to take away somebody, you might say, wow, is it going to happen? You know, but in the evening it happened. What would you do? What would be going through your mind? I believe that you'll be asking a question. Why do you do this? How can you do that? She's a good wife. How must you take away her away from me? Huh? I mean, if God only told him that he would take away the wife, and in the evening the wife died. So between that time to that time, what do you think Israel was doing? I mean, he might be pacing up and down his room, trying to find a reason why on earth you're going to do that. Why? Now, it is at such a moment in time, if this happened to us, what are you going to do? This is the lesson we're going to look at. Well, yeah, there is something that God is using Ezekiel for him to experience this pain so that he could deal with the people as God wanted him to deal with them and tell them that God loves you, but you would not listen. The thing that you love the most, that temple in Jerusalem, that city in Jerusalem, I'm going to destroy it. So you know how you feel. But, you know, if it were me, maybe I was thinking, what has got to do with me? You know what, Bob? Is he might be asking, what has got to do with me? Why do you deal with, take my wife to give this kind of illustration? You know, God always has illustration. Huh? You all remember one time God told Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. What? You make me marry a prostitute. In those days, when God dealt with Israel as a nation, they are a peculiar nation to the whole world. Exclusive club. And why should you be an exclusive people? In the eyes of God. You believe in that? You are the apple of God's eye. And if you are God's children, how do you think He's going to deal with you? Huh? Right? How is He going to deal with you? He would use us to sin. If He loves us, He will. Well, I guess that the question will be, why and how? Why must this thing be? Why can't you choose some kind of other illustration, you know, to tell the people that you love them? You know how many times God has dealt with Israel? How many times again, huh? How many times again? But this time, He's going to take away the whole city, take away the whole temple, and we'll be no more. This, the temple and the city of Jerusalem is the delight, the very delight of Israel. And even God told them, your children that is left behind in Jerusalem, you will all die. While you are out here in Babylon, slave to Babylon Empire. But your children, your sons and daughters left behind there, they will all die altogether. Now look at Ezekiel 24:19-24. Now, let me see how the people responded. Because, you know, here we read, verse 19. And when the people saw me, they said, why aren't you mourning for your wife? You know, mourning is an outlet. Do you know that mourning is an outlet of the pain inside us, huh? Okay? It's something that we do that when somebody dies, we take a little time to mourn and to come to our what we call senses and say, okay, this is life. Isn't that so? God give it, God take it away. But he was not allowed to mourn. I mean, he goes about doing his work as if nothing happened. And the people ask, why is he mourning for a while? Answer, the Lord says, he is ready to destroy the temple in which you take such pride. Which makes you feel so safe. Your children who now live in Jerusalem will be killed. Then you will do the same thing I have done. You will leave your face uncovered and refuse to eat the food that mourners usually eat. You won't take out your turban and your sandal. You won't cry or mourn. But all day long, you will go around groaning because of your sin. You hear that? I am a warning sign. Everything I've done, you will also do. And then you will know the Lord God can make these things happen. Yeah, but then, okay, it's kind of disaster, but why, what was God doing this? Oh, not just illustration. Yeah, it's kind of, to show to the children of Israel, this is what I'm going through, is an illustration, is the type of what you're going through. But why use that? Huh? Why use that? You think for a moment, why use that? Couldn't God use something other illustration? Always think about this. But here, oh my. Ezekiel was not allowed to follow the normal ritual of mourning. When he had asked the question by the people, he told them, what I'm going through is what you're supposed to do. You're not allowed to mourn. It's kind of strange. Do you know what? The thing about mourning is this. When somebody died, this ritual, this other thing. You see here, he says, you must put on the head covering. I mean, you must remove the head covering. But he was told to put on. He must put on. He continued to say, you're not allowed to remove it. Just put on as you are. As if nothing happened. They were supposed to remove the shoe when you are mourning. But they were not allowed to mourn. He was not allowed to remove his shoe. He must wear the shoe. Even in Chinese religion, some of them remove their shoe. You remember that? So he must continue to put on his shoe. As nothing happened, he must cover his mouth with the veil. It means to say that he must cover it. It means you are not allowed to show your grief. So they're not allowed to come. They were not supposed to eat their own food. This is provided by others. Do not eat the bread of men. Forbidden. The people will bring bread, wine, hard boiled eggs, and whatever they will bring, but they are not allowed to eat it. So, all these things that is the normal ritual when somebody grieved for the dead or in mourning, it was forbidden to Israel. So they are not allowed to practice, forgot all those things. Israel, Ezekiel was not comforted. He was in pain. God told him, you're going to groan inside here, you just have to groan inside there. Do you know how it is to just groan within yourself? That there's no outlet. That's why it's so important that when you need to cry, you shed tears. You need to shed tears. You cannot hold it back. Because when you hold it back, it's not much of a relief in you. When you need to cry, just cry. And don't come and tell me big men don't cry. When we are in great pain, we do need to cry. But Ezekiel was forbidden. So now the thing is this. If it happened to us in this time now, I mean, we are drawing this picture here to look at. What would you do if God told you to act as nothing happened? When you are down and out with anything that God take away from you, what would you do? It is at such a time now you need to run to Calvary. That's the only way. I mean, many times when I was hit by something, it was a real trial, tribulation for me. And I just had to go into a room and there, just cry. You cannot hold it back. Just go to the room, go to Calvary, go to the cross. You don't show your frustration. I know. Yeah, you get this place where you get into collision with God, you collide with God. Because you are human. We are human. We have human emotion. Immediately we get upset because things don't work the way we want it to work. So I want you to know that anytime when certain things happen to your life, if God would take away what He wants to take away from you, remember, He is sovereign. You don't question Him. But we always do, don't we? No matter how. But here I am now is God told Ezekiel, no mourning, nothing. He gave me specific instruction. And we learn from this, yes, we still collide with God. We still get upset with God. But now I believe that it comes to a place we get into the stage of maturity. We've got to come to grasp the seriousness of the Word of God. Last Friday, Brother Paul raised up a question about this issue of seven tongues. Looking at the book of Acts, looking on the day of Pentecost, when the early church started, the Holy Spirit did not tolerate lies. Remember Ananias and Sapphira's case? Well, we don't say lies, but we say maybe a little deception. So everything that they have is that, well, it's not really all, huh? See, but this is all that we have. Keep some for themselves. But it is theirs to keep whatever they want, to give whatever they want to God. There's nothing binding. Just because almost everyone that they see sow whatever they want to sell and give it to God, all that they have. And here they feel that, well, they don't want to give all, but they want to hold it back and throw a little deception. You know what belongs to you that God has put in your hand? It's yours. I mean, God bless you, put it in your hand. You can do whatever we want with it. You want to throw them away? You have the right. Or you want to give it to the Lord, you have the right. But don't be a place where you show it to everybody and tell it in front of everybody that this is all that I have and it's all I want to give to God when you hold back a lot of things. You may fool him, but you cannot fool God. That was the starting of the church. But no, if we are living in this last day, because of the carnality of man, because of that test that came into the church, well, God allowed the test to grow. right? And he only dealt with those that are his in a small way. But now we are coming back in the full circle. We are at the end of the church age. And what do you think is going to happen? Do you believe? I mean, after all, if you go a full circle, you must come back to the same point. I'm Alpha and Omega. What we see at the beginning, we're going to see it at the end. Right? But are we seeing it yet? Are we seeing it yet? No, we don't see it. And I'm not so much concerned about it. Why? Because like we only deal with, also on Friday, through the book of Zechariah. You remember the book of Zechariah? Just go to it. Just touching on it. And Zechariah chapter 4. Here we have God in chapter 4 talks about the golden candlesticks. And then the two olive trees. But over in verse 6, then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone therewith with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, think for a moment, if this is what has happened over that time, when Zechariah, Nehemiah and all those Ezra were told to come back to Jerusalem. Then Cyrus came into power, gave them the decree to go back and build the city and the temple. So they went back there to rebuild the city and the temple, but there was so much hindrance. The smell that was there, and those all those squatters that were there, and some pretend to be, you know, friends of them and try to help them, say, we'll help you build. But they were causing trouble. They were delaying the work. So this was a pile of mountain. Just as there was a pile of stone out there in Jerusalem. So much problem. So many problems out there. How to deal with all this pile? Some great mountain. I know Zechariah was trying to find a solution. How to deal with this. And of course, being we are human, being that he is human. The only way you think about trying to build this temple and build this city is to use the might of a great army of men. Of somebody who is powerful, who is rich, perhaps could contribute something. Remember they came back, they came down from the captivity. They have nothing actually. And Zechariah was wondering, what am I going to do to help build this temple, this city? How am I going to do it? And that's when the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Zechariah, it's not by might. It's not by power of name. It is by my spirit. And before Zerubbabel, the administrator, Zerubbabel was the administrator. That is on top of Christ. His grandfather shall become a plain. Nothing can stand before Zerubbabel. Nothing can stand before the Lord Christ. It will be by a miraculous act of God that the temple and the city will be built. You know what was prophesied about in the Bible? Regarding the nation of Israel. You know that when Israel was dispersed in 70 AD, they were all over the world and Jerusalem was nothing when the temple was gone, huh? You know that, don't you? And all their love was the city wall, the western wall, that was all there was in. And that's why the Jew went there to wail. But 70, 80. But yet the Bible prophesies that in one day, wow, a nation will be born. Can a nation be born in one day? That's ridiculous. It can't be. It cannot be. And so people look at the Bible and say that's telling nonsense. Look at an army, 2 million, an army of 2 million people. What do you get then? But today we see a reality. Huh? The Bible talks about television even well before you ever talk. I wouldn't know what electricity is. In those days, Old Testament, do you get electricity? They talk about radio. Talk about television. It's impossible. People don't know what it's all about. Huh? It's all mentioned there. That's why it's all about God's power. It's not about you. It's not about me. As a sovereignty of God, God do whatever He wants to do. Do you see that? So if we come to the church in the last day, what do you think is going to happen? Will we see what we read about in the book of Acts? The early church. They started at Pentecost, and then after a while you see power of God strengthening people who lied, who try to deceive others. But today, it seems that people are just continuing to deceive others. Lie. There are so much falsehood in their life. How can the church of God be raptured? How can the church of God be taken into rapture when she is in the state that she is in today? Look at the end time message. I'm talking about the bride, the people that are caught out from the systems of the world, from the system of the church, to come back to the original word. A message was given to us back in the 50s to point us back to the word. Just when the people of Israel left Jerusalem, and they faced all the problem too, and there were still many of them were so split up until God did something, then they came to one mind, one accord. It has to be by the power of God that God will bring the bride into a reality. But do we see it today? We don't see it. We see a lot of mess. People are caught up in a mess. It seems that it's not working. Huh? And what I'm seeing today is that among the anti-message churches, they try to build an ecumenical type fellowship. Do you know what I'm talking about? In terms of what you see ecumenism out there in the World Council of Churches. Come together for fellowship, whether you are Anglican, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Charismatic. Just come fellowship. Around the word, don't talk about doctrine. How do you fellowship around the word of God without doctrine? How do you fellowship? Only perhaps together once a year, twice a year. But if they were together every Sunday, huh? What are they going to preach about? God is love, God is love, God is love, God saved the world, God is love. What else could they talk about? Other than that. Scary, isn't it? Here in Singapore, there are some pastors who don't even believe the Bible. You know, you just see they could mix with all the other religion and fellowship with the other religion. They use the Bible, the other religion use their scripture books, whatever they have. You understand what I'm talking about? Huh? They'll sit together and one will recite Hail Mary full of grace, the other one will recite the Trinitarian Creed, and the other one will go Namo 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 Anitofat, and then the other one will Krishna 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 and Hari 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 Hari, you know? How could it be? A religious harmony. Yeah, I mean, religious harmony doesn't mean that you fellowship like that. I can eat with a Muslim, I can eat with a eat with the Hindu, I can eat with the Buddhist, right? And I respect their religion, sure, their faith. But something there's no way that we can say that we all worship the same God. And we can all pray together in the same room. What a cacophony. There's a parrot, there's a crow, there's a miner, there's a raven, there's a duck, and there's a chicken. What kind of sound did you get? What sound did you get? You want to know about it? Go to the farm. Stay now. Have a farm stay. In the morning, you get up, you get a oink oink there, and you oink oink here, oink oink there, and a moo moo here, moo moo there, chicka chicka here, and a ducky ducky here. That's the thing about the same thing that is going on in the church, in the anti message church today. But God is not mocked. He will come to a place just like what we read in Ezekiel chapter 24. Do you think the people in the anti message are not rebellious? Or they are? Do you know that? Either individually they are rebellious, or as a group, they are rebellious. Look at the word! No, they don't want to look at the word. So if you don't look at the word, what do you have in common? God give Israel the law. God give Israel the ordinances. And they're supposed to keep it and hold it. They were told not to marry with those over in the other nations. But they couldn't kill us. And then worship even other gods. As if God is many. Do you see? Oh, you are in Israel today. There are some group, I mean, even in Judaism today, quite very true, huh? There are some very strict legalistic group. Well, you don't blame them for being legalistic. The word of God is very legalistic, it's true, but God wants us to be realistic to what He said. Not making you very legalistic. If God said be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is the only way to go. You can't change it. Can you? Well, my friend said, you can, it's okay, whether you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Holy Ghost or not, or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as your heart is right. As long as your heart is right. You see, it becomes a heart. When the Bible said like this, it's your heart, your feeling. I love God. God, you know you love me. That's it. God, why do you want to take my wife? She's the apple of my eye. She's a good woman. She's a good wife. Why do you have to take her? What has she done? You know the kind of... God said, I am the Lord. I do what I would do. Can you, as a clay, say to the potter, why do you do this? Why do you make me a square bus instead of a round one? Can you? Yeah, but sometimes we do, don't we? But look, brother and sister, we are no longer little children. We have grown in the message. This message makes us wise. This message opens our eyes to understand who God really is. Not what God is, as we think in the denomination. Whether it be three that is so good, so loving, but when God does something to deal with your life, He wants you to be in your place. Is that not true? Very hard to accept. So what we are coming full circle now, and then what it is going to happen in the last day. What we read in the book of Acts going to happen? Don't think it will not happen. It will. Because as far as the Bible says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. the beginning and the ending. And God is not a straight line. Huh? He goes in a full circle. Do you understand what I mean? When he started out to do it, he must come back to the same place where everything is in the original. That's why he brings us back to the original word. Not your opinion, not my opinion. This entire message is full of opinion. It makes you so sick. As I said last Friday, I was telling you that, well, at least two weeks before that, somebody sent me an email. Well, with all those arguments, I think it's a forum site where they give their view, you know. And the title of that is, can bastard go to heaven? I mean, go into the rapture. Can a bastard born go into the rapture? And they quote Brother Abraham one passage. Well, there was a question asked Brother Abraham. Brother Abraham said, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they were not even allowed to go into the congregation for so many generations and so on and so forth. Like a woman who was having a period in Old Testament, they're not allowed to go into the congregation. So Baba was using what there was Old Testament, you know. Yeah, I believe the bastard can go into the heaven and they are saved, I know. But you know the Old Testament, it says about this and on reading it, it says, wow. It seems the problem is saying the bastard cannot go into the rapture. But can be saved, but cannot go into the rapture. Kind of strange. And this is what this judge, one paragraph of a quote, a question asked, and a brother of mine went into a frenzy. You know? And so now, you know what? You better find out whether you're bastard born. If you're bastard born and you are born again as a Christian, you still cannot make the rapture. That's what they're trying to tell you. And that Sister Piper, you know, sent me this again, asked me, what do you understand? I said, what are you caught up in this? You know? I said, let's see what happened to you. See, you're caught up with a friend of mine, you know, coming asking you all this. But I actually asked her, what's the happening? I didn't answer her question. She told me, well, you know, there was someone, there's some group that was confused, a friend of mine wanted to come fellowship with them, and so this somehow this kind of brought up. But let me say this, then, when finally I answer the email, I said, since now you asked me my opinion, can bastard born go into the rapture? My answer is, no! I just put a full stop. Yeah, why not? The answer is no. Bastard born cannot make the rapture. Then I put the next statement. God does not have bastard children. Isn't that true? So what are we talking about? I said, true, bastard children born cannot go make the rapture. Because there are many Christians that are born of a corrupt seed. What corrupt seed? Oh, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm an Anglican. You're holding on to a creed. You're holding on to a dogma. You're holding something man-made, that's corrupt seed. What do you expect? That's why it's so important what's being born again. Truly, truly born again. No wonder Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees, make the word of God no effect by your tradition. When you win them are no effect, it doesn't bring forth the fruit, right? No. So your tradition, make the word of God no effect, it cannot produce the fruit that God intended it to produce. So is God making, does the word of God have any effect on you? If it does not have any effect on you, you come here every Sunday, Friday and learn. If it doesn't have any effect on you, it's that we're water pouring on the duck's back. Do you know? King David said, the word, O Lord, thy word is a lamp of my pocket. I keep thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It must have an effect on you. Otherwise, something is wrong. Israel had time and time again got the word, got the word, got the word, they got the word. Prophet after prophet was sent to them. God has so much patience. Oh, the rebellious, not the why to kill the prophet. Again and again. Strange after them when Jesus came with the Pharisees. Oh, we have Abraham as our father, and Moses, we have this and that. You whitewash the sparkle. Huh? You that stoned the prophet, and then you paint the grave, what they call the grave white, make it look nice. Do you know about this cemetery? Huh? You know when somebody died, you're buried in a cemetery, right? Now there are people going cremate them and then put an urn of ash in a little hole and call them burial. Right? So what do you do? Someone died, your loved one died. Okay. Following week you go and visit the grave. Following week you go and visit it. So every week you visit the grave for maybe 1 year. After that, you visit the grave once a month. After that, you visit the grave once a year. After that, the grave is left rot. Isn't it so? Correct? Oh, but when Qingming come, all souls they come, we go there, clean us, the governor to clean, we give them a few, you know, some money to clean up the graveyard, paint it right, wash it a bit, make it so nice. What are we? I mean, human beings are a bunch of hypocrites sometimes. Isn't it so? That's why the Pharisees are like that. That's why, because of their tradition, the word of God has no effect upon them. Now you know we are children of God, that our heart must be open, our spirit must be open to receive the word of God, because God is dealing with this last day. You know how many more years do you think we have left for us? If we look at what Christ, or we look at the patterns in the Bible, if it's the whole truth. The first Christ was coming to the destruction of Jerusalem. 70 years. If Israel was given back to them, would the Lord come back to Israel? 70 years. Right? I mean, well, how many years were left? If it is so, are we close? I know the thing is that the thing usually happens. Just like Kami Camera. What did the Kami Camera say? What is the slogan they say? When you are, when you are less expected, what else? Then you are called Kami Camera. Smart, right? When you're least expected, and well, something like that. Yeah, that's what it is. A lot of people just continue on their world in their life, and what happened when the rapture comes? Are you aware about it? And that's why I've been in a full circle when the seventh thunder comes along. There are things going to be that are going to happen. The speaking of the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will take over. Zechariah, remember this, it's not by might, not by power. You cannot bring the church into a unity of one accord by a man-made thing. You know what I mean? It's not a chief apostle or so-and-so trying to bring it about together, or the might of one big church, or the power of one powerful speaker because he has the gift of the gap. That improves the charismatic, personality that he has, that will bring about a union of the bride. No! It is by my spirit, said the Lord. And I'm going to cause it to happen. And unless you are aware of what's going on, you missed it. So why is it so important for us to walk in the wood? Now Ezekiel, hear me Ezekiel, God said. I'm going to take away someone very precious to you. And when I do that, I don't expect you to mourn. I don't want you to mourn. I demand you not to mourn. Not to go through the ritual that is common to all the mourners. You know. And of course the people will ask, why are you not mourning for your wife? And you have to tell them exactly. What I'm going through is what God needs you to go through now. To make you understand. See that? But again we always ask, when was God do that? And yet it always comes down one full circle. God still says, I am the Lord. I'm sovereign. I do what I would do. But we don't want Him to do it to us. Do it to somebody else. Not me. So remember, if this thing happened to us, run to the cross. And when God did this to Ezekiel, Ezekiel explained to them. And God wanted the children of Ezekiel to understand one thing. I mean, want the children of Israel to know one thing. That when Babylonian army comes down to take you into captivity, to destroy your beloved city and your temple, I want you to know it is not because their gods are more powerful than me. Isn't that right? Huh? People sometimes think they're all. A greater army conquered a smaller nation. Today, you look at Israel, a small little nation, huh? A small, tiny nation surrounded by all the fanatics. Right? And yet, God would not allow the people to touch them. Because when He said, they won't touch you, He meant they won't touch you. When He said, I'll make your land to blossom like a rose, He did just that. Isn't it? He said, a nation will be born in one day, He meant just that. But when He allowed Babylon, the Babylonian army to come down to take over Israel, God allows it. Not because they're more mighty than Israel. You know, I read in the Bible how there will be 300 men. You know, can scatter all these Philistines of thousands. But it's not the might of man. It's not the power of man. It's the power of God to do whatever you want. Somebody asked me again recently, but again, how big is a congregation? You know, you ask me, you know, how big is your congregation in your church? Just only last few days ago. How many members do we have in your church? I say, I have many. I say, I have many, many, many. I cannot count. They are all over the world. You know what? People like to count heads. Then you want to count heads and God punish it. What do you want to count heads? You mean to say, by the count heads, you are strong? I mean, is that true? Oh, you only have about 50 people. Oh, just to see how big it is out there in the Suntec, out there in whatever the place is, charismatic churches. 12,000, 20,000. Long way to Congo, anti-message church, and polygamy church, and Branhamite church, and those that belong to Frank, about 20, 30,000 people. Imagine that. Is that the strength? The strength of the church is not in people. The strength of the church is in the Word of God, in the life of the people. If the Word of God doesn't change you, there's no strength in you. And you see a few other emails, not just this brother that I read just now earlier to you. They said, Brother God, you are still standing strength, still standing the same truth that you have preached so many years ago. You have not changed him. And he said, Regan, we are with you. We are standing on the same. I'm not wishy-washy. God told me once and that's enough to realize that it's the Word, not the Word of Brother Branham. It's the Word of God that I'm looking at. That's the Word he preached from when he holds up the Bible. He said, this is my absolute. And so that's the same. That's my absolute. Brother Branham's Word is not my absolute. Not at all. So if we don't come to the place where we see it, what God is doing, that He's sovereign in it, then we fail. God wants Israel to know that He is God, that whatever He wants to do, did it, he will do it, and it doesn't mean that he has sinned. Well, God is full of love, holiness, tenderness, right? He's full of virtue. But when God starts to do things that we think does not seem to be matching with His character, we get upset. Huh? Isn't it? Right?
Yes.
It is not like God to do that. To take a woman's life. What has she done? You know what I mean about it? God told it. God just tells directly, very directly, to Zeke, I'm going to take your wife. You understand? I'm going to take your wife. And you say one day, one day, she's going to be no more. Just die. Wow. Now, I believe that Ezekiel probably didn't tell the wife. And how she died, the Bible didn't tell us. You mean, the Bible said the wife died. Painful. I remember when we have our children, when they were small. When they are sick and all, we always pray, Lord, you know, heal them. Especially Zoe, when Zoe was suffering a lot because we were allergic to cosmos, we didn't know, suffered. And we are praying, we don't know what to do. Well, someone told us it's a cosmos. And nobody wants their loved one to be taken away. But God is sovereign. If God will take us, take someone away from, something away from our life, what's going to happen? Maybe your job. Then the job that you love far more than God. Do you know that there's something that's always in your life that you can place before God? Ahead of God? Huh? And that's what happened to me when I placed this ministry so far more than God, that I spent less time with God than ministry. I mean, I spent more time in the ministry than with God. Then I realized, we can get so involved in the ministry, the program, the thing that we are doing, that we don't have the time to get. You see. God's got a book of Psalms. I wonder back then when Elijah, you know, how he felt when God seemed to be not around with him and Jezebel came after him, you know. Huh? You remember? Jezebel came after him. And he went to hide himself in the cave. And in the cave he's complaining. I have only one life, I have only one life. And you know, and he was running for his life from a woman. And yet he had the power that God had given him to call fire down from heaven and the rain to stop. Huh? And yet, a woman, he wanted to hunt him down and he started running away. You see. And then what about Moses? Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And every day he's hearing all the grumbling about the from the people. You know, it is not comfortable for Moses to lead the people, and yet at the same time the people complain, mumbling and grumbling about him and this and that. Oh, he married, he took a woman and blah blah. You bring us here to die. As I said, it's one thing very common. In a congregation or an assembly, the leader of the church is the one who always get the stone thrown at him. Yeah? Stone will throw at the person, that leader, you know. Everything that happened, throw it at the leader. Alright, right now we are gonna go away from this place at the end of next month. We're going to find a new place. Yeah, I understand that, Brother Gant.
Yeah.
You go out there and tell Brother Sister, Brother Gant's job. We can't follow this. Everything is true, Brother Gant, right? You know, it's everything is true. So Moses, what did they say? He got irritated. Huh? You know what? He was so upset that he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Right? What happened to him? God says, huh? Because what you did, I'm not going to allow you to go into the promised land. That's not fair, Lord! That's not fair! Your people irritate me. And I forbid them to go into the promised land. Now, it's not about fairness or not fair. God said, I told you to speak to the rock. You get the point? Huh? Strike once, that's enough. Strike twice, that's not good. How many times do you want to strike the rock? Follow my instruction and do it. But your people irritate me. I know, there's always irritation all around us. It's not fair. God told, God, I believe if Moses talked like that, God says, you're telling me what is fair and what is not fair? I'm the creator, you're telling me not fair? I'm the one to give it and the one to take it away. I'll do what I will, and I'm sovereign. And remember that. Be grateful that God has called you. Even before you were born, God knew you. And God had ordained you to life. You believe in predestination? Yes. That's why we are here. That's why we are looking at the world. That's why we come here, called back to the world. Do you see that? There are a lot of people that are blind. They are deceiving and have a message. One thing is to be blind. And Brother Jim was talking about. There are a lot of people that are blind and they cannot see. Okay, that's one thing. But can you hear? The Bible did not say, he that have an eyes to see, let him see. The Bible said, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear. You're in the blind room, you're in the dark room. Huh? In the room of darkness. But if you can hear a voice, will tell you how to navigate out of that place of darkness. Can you not do it? There may be a lot of sharp things around you. But there is a voice that tells you, turn left, one step, go straight, two step, turn right, three step, they'll guide you. If you have the voice to hear that guides you out of darkness, you will be out. But a lot of people are not just blind. They are just not even, they are deaf. And blindness and deafness is just terrible. You cannot see anything and hear no sound. And your voice, when you speak, you can't even hear. Because most people who are blind, deaf, sometimes most of them are mute in any way. Right? So you have an ear to hear? What about Daniel? I was just thinking about this few characters. What about Daniel? Who was taken and thrown in the lion's den? But he was brave enough to stand there because God knew how to deal with it. What about those who were thrown into the arena in the dark age under the Roman Empire in the Colosseum? You know, they had the sports. The gladiator and so on. They throw this family of Christians, father, mother, grandfather, children, grandchildren, all around. And they let loose the bear, let loose the lion, whatever. What animal. And seeing the animal came out of that kid's door, running straight towards them. What would I do? Parent and father will hug the children. Protect them. That's human instinct. But I always believe this. In that moment of time, the power will come down and affect them in the shock state that they have. The spirit will take over. The alarm will come, everything is over. God knows how to deal with this. What about those that are burnt as a witch because they held the Bible when the Roman Catholicism forbid anyone to own the Bible? They were tied to the stakes and with all the branches of firewood around them and fire set. Huh? You know, being burned alive is a terrible thing. Screaming and all that. And I believe many of them just hold their breath, hold their confidence, let the heat burn them. And you read about testimony how they even some of them, the fire was set on the fire refused even to touch them, go out with for a while. And then consume them in an instant. He's God. What about Adam? When Eve sinned against the Lord, she said, he told God, it's a woman, you give me the woman. You know, passing about? Right? What have we done? It's a woman. Of course, we read it as if we know it's passing about thing. But what he's trying to look into deeply, it's a woman you gave me, so I have to do something right, Lord. We don't read that, do we? Isn't that so? And goes, oh, that's good. You know what to do. All right. That's why Adam was not punished, you know, in his reproductive organ. Except Eve. You see. But Adam was not in a state as to put the blame on any, as to put the blame on Eve in the way when we read the Bible. It sounds like he's passing the buck, huh? The woman, you give me what? What can I do? You give it to me? No. The woman you give me, she caused the fall, but we don't need the rest. So what I expect me to the father, I have to do something right. Obviously. That's why Adam had to do something and nobody know what he did. To get the churches today. What had Adam done? He was a savior. What do you expect? Because he knew God. You know God. So God is sovereign. So let us remember that. Psalm 42, 1 to 3. Let us read in the Bible. Don't read it in the King James Version or whatever you have in the Bible anyway. It's Psalms 42. Now, let's see what King David says right here. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? My tears have been my meat day and night. Why they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Well, so he is anguished. So what do you expect? He feel the pain. But you know something about King David? When the time when you are feeling in this situation, it is sometimes good that we talk to ourselves. Have you ever talked to yourself? Well, interesting. Let's read into a few verses of scripture here. Psalms 42, verse 5 and 8. What art thou cast down, O my soul? And what art thou disquiet in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, is he talking to himself? And maybe he doesn't go around walking around blaming God and all this thing, huh? He just walks around and says, oh, why are you so disquiet? So you talk to yourself. King David talked to yourself, himself. You have to talk, preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. Huh? Got it? And then verse chapter 27, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Lord in my life. Chapter 27 of Psalms, and verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's talking to himself. King David meditated on the Lord when he was out there in the pasture, looking after the father sheep. But when you have, after that long, when he was to be the king, you know how Solomon went after him, how the king Saul went after him to kill him. So that's when he had this, you know, pain in him. But yet, all that he had learned from the Word of God, all that which he had learned when he was out there looking after his father's sheep, in a time when everything was quiet, he meditated before the Lord, that's why he was able to write all those Psalms. And because of what he had experienced, that's why in a time of distress, he preached to himself. And I believe and I pray that the word that you have learned, you can preach to yourself. Right? And the same thing with Ezekiel. He had seen all that he had experienced with all the disaster because how God dealt with Israel. And yet he never questioned God. Neither he told God, oh, that's not fair. Nothing explained this whole thing. Doesn't make sense. So in times like this, when you're going through what Israel went through, you know, and what Moses went through, what Ezekiel, Elijah went through, what Adam went through, what are you going to do? You know one thing? Back then, they don't have the cross to look to. Upon, I mean. They are looking to the Messiah, that's true. But today, when we are in this situation, we can always run to Calvary. We can find a place of solace. Because when you go to the cross, you go down your knee and you pray, what do you think you see? Do you see a problem? No, why like this? No, there used to be complaining. Right? What do you see when you go to Calvary? What do you see? You see? The cross! Don't you see the cross? And if you see the cross, what is there on the cross? A cruel, rugged cross. And hanging upon that cross, what do you see? Do you see a sleeping? Do you see a bleeding lamb of God up there? Do you see, look at it, look at his face. Do you see the pain? The anguish? The torn crown brow there with all that blood. And his back was whipped, was raw, just bloody. Bloody lamb. What do you see? You see raw flesh. And most of all, you see just blood all over the place, dripping down at the foot of the cross. What do you see? You don't see that. When you see that, you should know that he's there for your suffering, for your pain, for your sin. Bear the cross, when you see the blood flow, do you find peace? Huh? Can you complain anymore when you look at that? God, why did you do this to me? When you look at that Lamb of God on that cross, you don't ask no more questions. Right? You cannot say anything more because you know you are just a speck of dust in his own universe. And God loves that speck of dust. That's you. And God suffered for you at the cross just to let you know, I know your pain. But I want you to make you perfect. I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to be what I want you to be. Because I'm the Lord. I'm God. If you ever complain anymore, you can't complain anymore. Look at Hosea 11 verse 8 as you close. Hosea. Chapter 11 verse 8. Healing is God's feeling the pain, but it's compassion. People don't think that God do what He did, there's no compassion. He has compassion. Look at what happened with all the dealing of Israel. Mercy, how shall I give thee up after Israel? How can I give you up? Even though you went to sin after sin and sin after sin, rebelliousness, how can I give you up? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Atma? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? These are the two cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah, that were destroyed. Huh? Can I make you like that? He said, my heart is turned within me. My repenting are kindled together. My compassion is burning with me. That is a fire. My heart is twisted because I love you. I'm not destroying you. I'm dealing with you. God's full of compassion. He's full of love. To ever understand God in full, go in me and look at the cross, Calvary. If you look at the cross of Calvary, you see the pain that God feel, that God had for you. That's what God is. You're following me? So live your life that God wants you to live. Don't complain so much about this and that. God has a way with His word. That's the reason why He wants you to, this church, this bride of Christ, that God is making up. God wants her to be perfect. That's why we are not like the Christian out there. God wants you to dress the way you should dress. Because you are presenting yourself to the world. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the way you should not be wearing miniskirt. That's why you sisters should not be wearing trousers. Because when you present yourself to the world, the image is not there. God intended you to be different from the man. And men should behave the way they should behave. Conduct themselves as they should. Do you understand that? Don't have a different attitude. It doesn't matter. It matters. Don't make the gospel so cheap. Just believe in Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. The gospel is not just that. You believe in Jesus Christ, you call yourself a Christian, and you don't behave the way you should behave, don't dress the way you should dress. What kind of Christian are we then? Are we any different from the world? God, that's what God told Israel, you are different. I make you, you are different. I want you to be circumcised. That's my token. And I give you the ordinance of worship and ritual so that the world can see you are a different people. And you are my people. May God give us the token of the Holy Spirit for what? To guide us and lead us into all truth. Isn't that right? To live the life of Christ, to live the virtue of Christ, to do the way that God wants us to. Because we are different. We are the apple of His eye. And the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. All together one more time, Father, we thank you. To the Lord, with your praise, O Lord. Keep us in thy word at all times, Father. When there is pain, when there is whatever the reason you are doing with us, Father, help us now not to come into any collision with you. We may be frustrated, O Lord, but help us to bring us to the place, to the cross, to the Calvary, and there to behold the face of our Lord and His suffering, and to really know you, Father, that you are love. That's why you
do what you have done. And we know, Father, you're still working on us. But we are approaching the time, Father, that soon the bride will be gone. Keep us in thy word. May you help us to be faithful, Lord, to walk in the light of God's word and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. We commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name.